The enchanting world of Hinge and Bracket. You may remember last week, the home of Dame Hilda and the Doctor was cut off by deep snow. Visiting the house at the time were Maud and Constable Bolsover. Constable Bolsover volunteered to dig his way through to the village, but unfortunately he slipped on the front doorstep and disappeared into the snow. What will the ladies do?
Quickly, Abney, we must find him. He can't have gone far. This is no time for jokes, dear.
I was being serious. Wait.
Yes, I can see his feet in the snowdrift. Oh, yes, they're George's boots, all right. Size 10. But where's his head?
I dare say if we pull on his feet, we shall find it.
Oh, the poor man, he must be upside down. Quickly, Evadne, we must extricate him. Come on. He's emerging.
Oh, Daisy. Is that you, Daisy, me love?
I wonder if he's calling for his bicycle.
Sounds as if he's rambling there.
Oh, Elsie. Elsie, where are you, Elsie?
Well, I'm not Elsie, dear.
He must have hit his head on something, Hilda.
Oh, Jessica. Oh, Jessica, you're lovely.
Jessica? He gets around, doesn't he? No wonder he needs his bicycle.
George, it's us.
We must
get him inside somehow, dear.
What's happening, Dame Hilda?
A slight accident to Constable Bolsover, dear.
Did you hit him with the shovel?
No, the fresh air hit him. Then he hit the step.
Oh, darling. Oh, my darling, darling.
He's after me again.
I don't think you're in the first three, dear. Well, come along and ease him onto his feet.
That's it.
Now, George, can you hear me? One arm round my shoulder and one arm round Maud.
Not likely.
Oh, out of the way, Maud. Just hold the door open.
Right, Evadne.
Slowly does it. I say, Hilda, he's rather heavy.
I'm not surprised. We're carrying a keg of bitter. And half the drinks from our trolley. Steady, George, we're nearly inside.
Can you give him a good shake, or you'll have snow all over the old carpet?
It's not an umbrella, Maud.
There,
George, one more step. That's it. Now, into the hall. Lovely, that's it.
Oh, Brandy. Brandy.
He thinks you're a St. Bernard, Maud.
Oh, I must have a rest. Sit him on this chair, dear.
Oh,
can you hear us, George?
Oh, onward. Into the valley of death, road 600.
He's probably thinking about last year's choir trip.
If you ask me, he's lost his memory. My Arthur did that. Couldn't get a sensible word out of him for a week.
Now you know how we feel.
Old Dr. Bradshaw said he had Polynesia.
I thought parrots got that thing.
The best thing, Hilda, is to try and manoeuvre him into the drawing room and onto the settee.
Up for Daisy, George.
Oh, Daisy. Oh, Daisy, my love.
Yes, and I wish she was here to give us a hand.
That's it. Now, if I lift his feet on the settee, that's right. Better put a cushion under his head.
Oh, my goodness. Look at the bruise on the side of his head.
Oh, dear, it is a bump.
Maud, go and fetch some butter.
Should I bring the teas as well?
It's for his head.
Well, will half a pound be enough?
I only want to soothe his bruise, not baste him.
Right. I'll get some. And should I boil some water?
He's not expecting me.
Hilda, I don't like the look of him.
I've been saying that for years.
Now, there's no need to panic, Evadne. But if he has lost his memory, he could be like this for months.
Evadne, keep calm. You're overreacting. We've done very well up to now, and all we have to do is dial 999 and ask for an ambulance. So sit down there, and please keep calm. Nothing was ever solved by panicking. Evadne! Evadne, the phone's dead! It's dead! What are we going to do?
We're going to sit down and keep calm, dear.
But Evadne, I can't get through. The lines must be down. Now, what are we going to do now?
We're not going to panic.
How can you sit there so calmly and say that?
Dame Hilda, the butter's too hard, so I brought some marmalade.
You stupid woman, Lord.
Oh, Dame Hilda.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I was
panicking.
I am not panicking, Evadne. I'm just a little distraught, and I'm sorry, Lord. Now, let's keep calm.
You won't want the marmalade, then.
Don't say it, Hilda.
Hello? Well, goodness me. What's going on here, ladies?
I never touched you.
George, you've recovered. Thank goodness for that.
Boy, what's been happening? Ooh, me head. A bit of a bump there. I can feel it. Rather painful.
You fell, George.
Oh, I see. I must have overdone them crab sandwiches. What do you mean? Think I done me knee in as well. Dear, hope it's not a reoccurrence of me housemaid's knee.
The housemaid wasn't called Daisy, was she?
Daisy? Who told you about her?
Well, you've been rambling on a bit, George.
Oh, heck. Did I say anything about an army surplus vest and a carnation?
No, you didn't, dear, so your secret's quite safe.
Ah, well, that's a relief. Must have given me knee a right knock. I pulled my trouser leg up. You can examine the damage.
Maud, I suggest you avert your gaze. It is badly grazed, George.
Oh, I see. Swelled like a balloon.
When I sit by the fire, mine goes up like that.
You're not supposed to be looking, Maud. Now, the first thing to do is bathe it. Make sure it's clean.
Will he have to have his leg off?
Morbid, Maud. He's only grazed his knee.
Well, it could be worse than it looks.
That's right, dear. Cheer the patient up. Right, I'll fetch the first aid box. Do you think you could take his boot off?
Leave it to us, Evadne. Now, let's see if I can undo the boot lace.
Oh, no, easy.
Sorry, George, sorry. Come along, Maud. Hold George's leg steady while I... Yes, yes. And your expression tells me you'd rather hold the boot, all right. Very well. Now, gently does it. Ease the boot off, Maud.
It's stuck, Dame Hilda.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid this might hurt a little, George.
Oh, well, it has to be done. I don't suppose you have a bullet I could bite on.
I'm afraid not. The best thing that I could offer you would be some icing from one of Maud's cakes.
I think it's beginning to move.
Good. Big effort now, yeah. Maud. Pull this bit. Yes, it did move. And Maud with it.
What on earth is... Hilda! Hilda, the china cabinet.
Well, never mind the china cabinet. What about me?
It belonged to my mother.
Are you all right, Maud?
Well, I'm still in one piece, Dame Hilda.
Look, ruined. An irreplaceable antique ruined beyond repair.
She said she was in one piece, dear.
The cabinet, Hilda, the cabinet.
Well, don't worry, Doctor. My Tom will fix it with a few nails and a bit of hardboard.
Maud, you're impossible. An incompetent fool.
We can't all be doctors.
Did anybody see where my boot went?
Now, control yourself, dear. What's done is done. Our first consideration must be for our patient. Now, Maud, off you go into the kitchen and bring the first aid box.
Righto. Oh, Lord. Oh, I can't. Me back's gone. Oh, it's seized up. I can't stand, Dame Hilda.
That's all we need.
I think I slipped one of me discuses.
Well, it looks like it showed us to the wheel again, Evadne. We'll have to lift Maud onto the settee next to George.
Not next to him, you won't.
It'll have to be the two armchairs, then. We could leave her where she is and go away for a month. That's very unkind, dear. Besides which, the roads are blocked.
They're government property, you see.
Pardon, George?
Me boots.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, look, we'll be with you in a moment. The immediate problem is lifting Maud. And you know, Evadne, it's been one of those evenings when I feel that we should have invested in a block and tackle. Mm. Aren't you bringing your coffee into the drawing room?
No, Hilda, I'm staying here in the kitchen for a few minutes apiece. And this coffee is more than welcome.
Help to calm your shattered nerves, eh?
Pity it can't help a shattered cabinet.
Well, it wasn't entirely Maud's fault, dear. She was a little unfortunate.
Everything about Maud is unfortunate.
However, you'll be pleased to know she is quite comfortable on the two armchairs.
Very pleased.
And George has fallen asleep on the settee. You did an excellent job on his knee, dear.
It wasn't as bad as I first thought.
And there's nothing else you can do with Maud. Well, there is, but it's against the law.
Dame Hilda! Dame Hilda!
I think you're wanted in the casualty ward, dear.
Coming, Maud! You'll have to help me, Evadne. She may want turning on her side. And don't suggest we should have put her on a spit.
What a good idea.
Now then, Maud, is there anything wrong, dear?
It's him, Constable Bolsover.
But he's fast asleep on the other side of the room, dear.
He's bothering me.
It's impossible, Maud.
I've heard of the long arm of the law, but that is ridiculous.
He hasn't touched me. If he had, I'd have screamed the house down.
And no doubt caused a few avalanches.
He's mumbling, you see. Mumbling in his sleep.
Oh, how interesting.
Did he say any more about Daisy?
Well, I couldn't hear him proper.
You could hear him properly if we moved you nearer to him, Maud.
Not on your life.
Well, I don't know about you, Hilda, but I'm exhausted. I'm off to bed.
Yes, and it's past my bedtime as well, dear.
You're not leaving me here with him, are you?
Well,
in the same room all night.
Oh, we're certainly not moving you anywhere else, Maud. It was enough of a struggle to put you in the armchair.
If Arthur finds out, he'll go berserk.
Now, dear, be sensible. Constable Bolsover is on the other side of the room, and he has a bad leg.
He can hop, can't he?
Who do you think he is, Maud? Long John Bolsover.
Well, didn't right, married woman like me, putting temptation in his way.
What an imagination.
Well, Maud, to allay your fears, I'll stay with you.
Very noble of you,
and
dear.
After 4 hours, Evadne can take over from me.
Thank you very much.
Now, Maud, close your eyes and try to rest, dear. Let's hope the weather improves and there is a brighter day ahead of us tomorrow. What a dreadful morning, dear.
Yes, the snow is worse than ever. And according to the wireless, there's more to come.
Does that mean we're marooned and we'll starve to death?
She's a bundle of fun, isn't she?
Also, according to the wireless, the helicopters are dropping hay for marooned animals.
So, if the worst comes to the worst, it's a bowl of hay for breakfast, Maud.
Well, Hilda, I suggest that we carry on with our normal routine and put in our usual morning's rehearsal.
I agree, dear. Is that all right with you, George?
He's fallen asleep again, dear.
You can have too much sleep, you know.
We didn't last night, dear. We were on guard duty.
Why didn't we sing something dedicated to ourselves?
Such as, dear?
Two sleepy people.
Oh, very good.
I think we'd be better dedicating something to Maud and George.
cuddle up a little closer. Oh, it's very funny, Hilda.
Funnier than mine.
Yes, I thought so too, dear. That's why I said it. Well, come along. You know what we could rehearse? Mm. You know that nice song from Merry England?
Oh, the Brighton Bunch.
Yes, that's a bright one from Act Two. Let's go to that one again.
Oh, yeah. Daddy, I can remember it.
I may be wrong, but I long for a song with a tune with a man from Moscow. It will make you shout when you feel washed out, when your comet will lend some stars to. Of course I know such a tune is low, but the many a man may fund it. But what the juice and the earthly use of a tune if a man can't have it? A tune if a man can't have it. Oh, and come, follow the ground and the music may be grand. But the words be dust and the tune be such and the Britain can understand. Be a fall of the sea or a lay of the good dry land. Then on go hang and tune will bang when it's played on a big brass band. When it's played on a big brass band. Ah, oh, George is awake. Did you like that, George?
Oh, very nice. Do you know I got cramp in my leg?
Well, if you can hum it, I'm sure we can sing it. Very good, dear.
How's your back this morning, Mo?
None of your business, dirty devil. It's all you men think about, women's bodies.
Yes, well, I'm sorry to bring the biology lesson to a rapid end, but we must make plans for the day.
I bet my Arthur's been tunneling all night to rescue me.
Yes, on the other hand, he may still be sitting in his bedroom waiting for his supper with his boots on.
I can't understand why he hasn't rung up.
I tell you, Maud, the phone is out of order.
That wouldn't stop him.
Look, I think we can assume that both your loved ones have realized that you're safe and sound.
There must be a way that we can get in touch with the police.
George, Maud wants you.
No! I mean the proper police. Now, why don't you and the doctor go on the roof and scream?
Why don't you?
Evadne.
Now, actually, you might have a good idea there, Maud.
I know. I saw it on a television program. This woman was trapped on the roof of a skyscraper, and she screamed for 3 hours, and this man climbs up the drain pipes and whisks her off to safety.
Yes. But the only trouble is, you see, I don't think Batman is inspecting her.
Now, come on, George. You should be trained for emergencies. What did they teach you at police college?
Well, I've been thinking about this.
You see, sanity prevails.
Right. Now, we're in here, right?
Right.
And they're out there.
Right again.
Now, they don't know we're here.
That's true.
But we know they're there.
True again.
So, we got to find a way of letting them know we're here.
In a nutshell.
Right. So what do you think we should do then?
George, I thought you were going to come up with a suggestion.
Oh, no. I was just reviewing the situation.
Can we laugh at Inspector Clouseau?
Got it.
He's got it, dear.
We're in here.
We've done all that, George.
Why don't you and Evadne go on the roof and scream?
What a stupid suggestion.
Look, what I was going to suggest was that we do in fact go on the roof. Now, we've heard on the local radio that helicopters are in the area dropping feeding stuffs for the animals. So, if we can leave some sort of SOS message on the roof, the pilot will see it and our troubles are over.
Brilliant, Hilda. I'll write a postcard and you can pin it to the chimney pot.
At times, Evadne, you can be very obtuse.
I thought it was very witty, dear.
Very well then, wittily obtuse. What we do is string a washing line across the roof and hang a distress signal on it, like the ships do.
England expects every man this day to do his duty.
The doctor rambling now, Dame Hilda.
A famous naval signal, Maud.
But hardly appropriate in our case. No, we hang a white sheet on the washing line.
Point of order, Hilda. That's rather silly. put a white sheet against a white snow, and it'll be invisible.
Sometimes I wish you were invisible. Will you allow me to continue? We paint in bold letters, S.O.S. on the sheet. The pilot spots it and zooms down in his helicopter.
Oh, I've seen him on the news. They'll lower a rope, I'll tie it round me waist, and it'll pull me up in the air.
The poor helicopter. Actually, Maud, they lower a man to the ground, and the rescued person clings to him as they are hauled to safety.
Oh, do they? Oh, do they really?
Well, I'm not clinging to any man. Giving him ideas.
It will be strictly impersonal, Maud.
Of course it will, in most cases.
Just a moment, ladies.
What, George?
Just keep quiet. I think I can hear something. Yeah, I thought I could. It's the clock ticking.
George, you really are... Wait, I can hear something else. It sounds like a car engine. Hilda, it is a car engine. In the distance. Evadne, open the window and start screaming. Oh, look, dear, look down the lane, a snowplow heading this way.
Oh, marvellous. Not as dramatic as a helicopter, of course, but very welcome.
Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo, we're in here, Cap.
I suspect they already know that, dear.
Oh, promise you won't say anything about me spending the night with him.
Our lips are sealed.
And not a word to Doris about Daisy.
No, George. We'll just tell her about Elsie and Jessica.
Oh, well, she won't mind that.
Doris must be very broad-minded, George.
No, they're me pigeons.
Well, Evadne, I must say it's lovely to have the house to ourselves again.
Yes, I agree. It was quite a traumatic experience while it lasted.
And Maud made it last to the end. Only she could have managed to fall off the stretcher.
Fortunately, she didn't break anything important this time.
No, just her leg. I am naughty. Naughty Hilda. But I couldn't resist that. Mind, you know, she asked for it. I mean, only Maud could fall down and knock her slip disc back into place. Wonderful Maud. She said she'll be calling tomorrow, as usual, weather permitting.
Well, we must pray for another blizzard, dear, mustn't we?
You mean you prefer a fall of snow to a fall of moss?
Infinitely, dear.
Now then, dear, shall we continue with our rehearsal before lunch? Or would you prefer to eat first?
Well, whichever you wish, Hilda.
Well, I tell you what, then, let's go to the piano, dear. And you know what I like to try and sing, which I haven't done for a while, is that lovely song of Ivor's, you know, Fly Home, Little Heart. Another one I like.
Oh, yes.
Shall we try that? See how it goes. Yes.
Fly home. Oh,
their enchanting world, Hinge and Brackett were joined by delectable Daphne Hurd as Maud and arresting Herbert Smith as Constable Bolsover. The programme is written by that delightful trio, Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald, and produced in fragrant Manchester by gentleman James Casey.